Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's pray. O Lord, we do pray that we will see clearly the race that you have set before us, that you will enable us to cast aside those things that get in the way of running that race. You'll help us to see how we can serve you, how we can show the world around us the love that you've given to us. Bless us with your grace as we seek to do the things that you've called us to do in this verse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Meredith Fitzmaurice never dreamed she'd win Sunday's Run for Heroes. This is last week, I think. Might have been the week before. Run for Heroes Marathon in Amherstburg, Ontario. Especially since she had planned on only running a half marathon. She signed up for the half marathon, and as she's running it, she goes and there was a turn that the half marathoners needed to take, and she didn't notice it. So as she gets to about the time she figured she'd finish the half marathon, she looks at her watch, and she doesn't see a finish line. And she realizes at that point that she made a wrong turn. She was on the full marathon course. Never having run more than 20 miles before, she said, well, I'll run 20 miles, make this a nice warm-up for another marathon later. And she kept running, and then she realized as she's coming up to a turn, she sees the people that are ahead of her, and she starts counting, and there's 9 men ahead of her and no women. So she asks one of the race officials that are biking along, will they let me finish the race? Will they let me run the whole marathon? And he contacted the race director, and he said yes. So she kept running. Planning on running 13.1 miles, she runs 26.2 miles, and she is the first woman to cross the finish line. She said she got near the finish line, and the feeling was surreal. People were high-fiving her and telling her how she was the first woman and to keep on going. She said, I had only ever run 20 miles, but I think at that point the adrenaline just pulled me through. She said, I just kept thinking, you can do this. Just get it done. Fitzmaurice crossed the finish line in a time of 3:11:48. She was the first woman, 10th overall, and had qualified for the Boston Marathon. What did you think when you started running in the Christian life? Did you think it was going to be a short sprint? Okay, I'll go out and do these things, and God will bless me, and everything will be okay, and then I can just sort of coast to the end. You may be at the point where you finished the 13.1 miles of your marathon, but there's still another 13.1 to go. Will you finish the race? Will you continue to run the race that God has set before you? This passage in Hebrews 12 is a very familiar passage to most believers, but it's worth looking at again and again because it enables us, it helps us to run the race that God has set before us. It gives us the clues to how to run that race and how to finish. So run the race. To do it, you'll need to, first of all, look around, then lay aside, and then run. Look around. Look around at what? Well, the beginning of verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What had he just done in chapter 11? He had gone through a whole list of Old Testament witnesses, martyrs. Those who had lived their lives for their God. Those witnesses are surrounding us. Those witnesses are there before us. The cloud of witnesses. This isn't just the wispy cirrus clouds up, you know, way up in the sky, the high ones that just sort of, that you look right through them. This is a mass of clouds Sort of like what we get around here most of the time. But a mass of clouds. The witnesses aren't just here and there. They're all around. We've got those that have gone before us. They've shown us how to live by faith. How to live the life that God had given them to live. How did they do it? They lived it by faith. The world was not worthy of them because they were looking to something better. They were looking at a home that was in a better place. They lived by faith. They didn't look at the cares of the world, but they looked at what God was doing with them and through them as they lived their lives for Him. That is the cloud of witnesses that surround us. Now, as he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I think he's primarily looking back at chapter 11 and the people that he's talked about there. But he's looking at all, we can include all of the witnesses for Christ that have gone on through history and that are around us now. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by people who are seeking to live their lives for Christ. Look to them as examples. Look to them for encouragement. Look to them for help as you struggle with the circumstances of this life and seek to live for your God. Look around at the cloud of witnesses that are around you. And then lay aside. Lay aside what? Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Lay aside. Now, a runner, if you're going to start to run a marathon, any marathoners here? Was that a hand up in here? If you're going to run a marathon, what are you going to take with you? You're going to get a backpack on and fill it full of stuff? No, you're going to take away anything that would heed your progress. You're going to get as light as you can. Get ready to run. Get ready to run by getting rid of the things that don't belong as a part of the race. This is the same word that's used for the people that took off their clothes, took off their coats, and set them at the feet of a young man named Paul. Actually, it was Saul at that point. Set them at the feet of a young man named Saul, and then went out and picked up stones and threw stones at Stephen and killed him. Not our Stephen, but Stephen from the Scriptures. They laid aside, they took off their coats and they laid them aside. They put them at the feet of Saul. We are to lay aside every weight. Now, these weights can be good or bad. It can be things that would be looked on by the world as something that's really good, doing something good. It can also be looked at as doing something bad. It's just a weight. If you've ever gone hiking with young people, you probably know that they're scurrying around and looking at things. And one thing that a lot of young people, at least young boys, like is rocks. And so they'll go around and they see a rock. Oh, this looks really cool. So imagine one of the fathers in this room, they're hiking with their son and they've got a backpack on, and every rock that the child thinks is really cool, they throw it in the backpack so that they can take it home. And they keep climbing a mountain. And they keep throwing rocks in the back. What's going to happen as they go up that mountain? They're going to get weighed down. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be sort of hard to do the thing that they need to do. Might be better to just roll the rocks down the mountain and then pick them up at the bottom. But that's the idea here. Don't put weights in your backpack as you're walking along. Get rid of those things that do not belong, that do not contribute to the race that is set before you. We need to be careful, though. Some of the parts of that race that's set before us are going to be hard. They're going to be difficult. They're going to be struggles that we need to get through to bring honor and glory to our Lord. Everything that's hard isn't a weight that we set aside. Sometimes there are things in our life that we need to persevere through. to do what God wants us to do. Don't think that everything is hard is one of these things that we cast off. Sometimes God sets before us, especially people. People can be a little weighty at times. And if God's setting before you a person or people, and it's getting hard, it doesn't mean it's a weight that's here that we set aside. Sometimes I wonder, I was canoeing this past week. And you know, in the city of Rochester, there's a lot of houses, buildings, all sorts of things. There's a lot of business. There's all things going around. And there just seems to be constant movement. But we put in our canoes at Ellison Park and canoed up to Irondequoit Bay. And you know, you're out there. And God's creation is around you. It's peaceful. It's nice. Setting aside the things of this world and just going on and doing that's nice to do sometimes. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I've got 163 acres up north that are just beautiful, and I love that. And I you know, one day maybe I'll go up there and build the house that I want to build and live up there. But, you know, sometimes I think, boy, that would be nice. And then other times I look and say, what opportunities am I going to have to share the gospel if I do that? What opportunities are going to be there? Will there be some? Yeah, I can go out and I can do things, and there will be some. But for the most part, the reason I would go up out there is because I can just go out and be all alone. Now, in Christian history, some people thought, yeah, that's the best thing to do. So the monks just said, okay, we need to get rid of every weight, so we'll just go off by ourselves and be in a monastery and we'll just worship God. We're the witnesses for the people that need the gospel. And that's the question we need to ask. If we're running the race that sits before us, we need to include sharing the gospel with others. We need to include showing the love that God has shown to us. We need to include doing those hard things, dealing with hard people, because God is continuing to show His love to a people in need of salvation. And He's using us to show the gospel to those people. And we need to make sure that we see that as a part of the race that is set before us. Not just comfort, not just being by ourselves and being at peace by ourselves, but having the peace that God gives when we're doing His work. Distinguish between weights that don't belong and the hard things that do belong as you live your life for Christ. What are your weights? For some, it's keeping up with the Joneses. For others, it's holding on to the memories that draw you back from running a good race. For others, it's being too busy to accomplish anything for the kingdom. For others, it's pursuing the things of this world. Maybe not sinful things, but things that are drawing you away from living as a part of God's kingdom, hindering living the life that God has set before you. Weights can be good or bad, but we need to see how they fit into the mission that God has given us, to the life that God has set before us. Well, those are the weights. Could be good things, could be bad things. We need to make sure that we're ready to run the race. The other category, he says, is the sin. Let us lay aside the sin which clings so closely. The sin which clings so closely. Now, the cling so closely, you see this translated various ways. It's one word that's made of three smaller words, and if you translated it literally, it'd be well around standing. Well, what does that mean? Well around standing. Well, I think the picture was coming. If you've ever seen a soccer game where there's a really good player on one team. Now, as I refereed soccer, often I saw this where we lived up in the North Country where I was refereeing. There weren't a whole lot of really good players. So you get one player on the team and he's going to make a difference. So the other coach often would say, you stick to him, to a defender, you stick to him like glue. So that defender would translate that and say, I need to do everything I can to make sure that this guy doesn't get the ball, or if he gets the ball, that he can't do anything with it. And so that defender will hold his shirt, he'll trip him, he'll push him, he'll do all sorts of things, and me as a referee, of course, I have to acknowledge that he's doing things that are wrong and stop him from doing that. But he still keeps going, because his coach had said, don't let that guy do anything. He impedes the progress of that other player in any way that he can, all around him. And that's the idea that's here. Satan is using sin to keep us from doing what God wants us to do by doing everything he can, throwing everything at us, doing it all around us, whether it's tripping or pushing or whatever. Sin is keeping us, impeding us from doing what God wants to do, us to do in our lives. We need to make sure that we're looking at our lives and saying, we need to lay aside any sin that is keeping us from doing the will of God. Sin impedes all around. What are the sins that are keeping you from running the race that God has set before you? For some, it might be alcohol. Could be drugs. Could be a desire for sexual relations outside of marriage. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's a lack of forgiveness, holding on to a grudge. It's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. Maybe it's pride that keeps you looking at yourself instead of the needs of the people that are all around you. Maybe it's lying, stealing, manipulating. Maybe it's part of having to simply survive in this world, so you've done everything you can, but some of those things aren't so good. For just seeking to survive, sometimes we can't open our eyes to God's purposes for our lives. And we're looking in the wrong direction and running along the wrong path. Maybe we're just looking for comfort. Maybe we're looking for the things that just look to be good around us. We need to be looking at God's path for us. What's drawing you away? What's holding you back? What's impeding all around from your progress in running the race that God sets before you? Lay it aside. Get it out of your life. Put it aside. And run. Run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that God has set before you. Endurance. This is not a sprint. But it's running to the end. It's running all the way through. It's running the full marathon. It's running until God calls you home. And it takes endurance. It takes making sure that you're doing the things that God wants you to do and keep on keeping on. It takes endurance. It's not one that just starts well, but it's one who finishes well. Run with endurance. And run the race that God has set before you. Run the race that is set before you. Who's setting it before you? The word just means outstretched and then lying it down. So it's just God setting down the path that we're to run. It's setting down that race, the race course that we have. And we need to run it. We need to look at the desires, at what He desires for our lives. When He calls us to love, when He calls us to care, to grow, to put off the old and put on the new, to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, to take His Word and use it to guide our lives, we need to look at what He desires for our lives and then put it into practice as we live our lives. Now that race is the same for all of us in one way. We're doing what God wants us to do. We're doing the things that he calls us to do as citizens of his kingdom, knowing that we have a home in a different place. We're doing the things that God is setting before us. That's the same for all of us. It will look different for every one of us. We will all have a race to run, though. We will all have a race that God has put before us. I was looking at this verse, I was struck by the contrasts. As we look at how he starts, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses as examples to us, as encouragement for us. And then he says we need to lay aside being surrounded by sin. Lay aside the weight and the sin which clings so closely, which surrounds us, impeding us on every side. That was one contrast. Being surrounded by the witnesses, being surrounded by sin. And then another contrast. To lay aside the weights and the sin which so closely, I memorized it in NASB, so easily entangles us. To lay those things aside, but then to run the race that is set before us, that is laid down in front of us. So lay aside those things that don't belong. Look at the path that God is setting before you, lying down in front of you. Now, on our own, it can be hard to see clearly the right choices in doing those things, in running that race. We need to be able to see clearly, to have the right perspective on our life, to know where God is taking us, which is why the writer will move on. I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 at this point. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. That's where our perspective comes. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Jesus went before us. Look to him. We'll talk more about that next week. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you will help us to look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. To look to you and to lay aside the weights and the sin that would keep us from doing what you desire. Help us to see clearly the race that is set before us and run it with endurance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing from Psalm 27, Selection D. What's the race that is set before us? O Lord, teach me to follow you. Instruct me in your way. God has given us his word so that we can know where we are to run, how we are to run, and have the right perspective on the things that are around us. Psalm 27, Selection D, please stand to sing. As we look to remember what our Lord did for us in the Lord's Supper, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat and drink, eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Jesus instituted this remembrance on the night he was betrayed. He wasn't looking at the betrayal. He knew that it was going to happen. But he was looking at what he needed to do to give his life for us. Have you felt betrayed? Have you felt that people around you or things around you have gone in a way that you didn't like? Jesus was betrayed. And he was sent to die on a cross, to suffer. The only reason he did it, he didn't need to do it for himself. The only reason he did it was to give that life in payment for our sins. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We cannot stand in God's presence on our own merit. We won't make it, no matter how hard we try. But Jesus came and gave himself for us. He was betrayed, but he looked to the sacrifice that would allow us to come into his presence. What we do here today is to remember that sacrifice, to remember what he had done for us. And I'd like to note that we do not want to keep anyone away from the table. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you belong remembering what he did for us. But we also want to make sure that you aren't drinking, eating, and drinking judgment upon yourself as best we can. So we ask anyone who would like to participate in the Lord's Supper with us to meet with the elders, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in and show us that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Because that's what we're judged on. It's not that we're perfect. If you look back at the week before, did you do everything right? Did you do everything you were supposed to do? Did you not sin? And did you do everything that God set before you? I can't say that. But I can say that I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. That's how we enter in, to participate in this remembrance. But we do ask that you meet with the elders and profess that faith before you participate. Let's pray. Lord, as we remember your death until you come, help us to look back on it, to see what you did for us. And help us to look forward to that day when you will come again and set all things right, usher in the new heavens and the new earth, and bring us to to our home. We thank you that you have given us a home to which we can look. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.